are listening to the Daily Roundup here as part of the Reality Steve podcast. I am your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. A good Friday show heading into the weekend. We're going to talk what's going on this weekend with Jen in Seattle, including Sunday's date. We've got some bullying going on in the world of Survivor. Yes, there are trolls for that show, too. Lovers and Liars, episode 2 was last night. I finally got around to watching Deal or No Deal Island from Monday night, and I've got some thoughts on this show that maybe people aren't understanding. I don't even know if the players really understand. Farmer Wants a Wife aired episode 10 last night. Each farmer is now down to two women. And yes, Taylor Swift's album is coming out. By the time you listen to this, it will have been out. We'll talk about it. Get to all that momentarily.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, let's start off with this. We know that Jen's season of The Bachelorette is filming right now. It is going to head to Seattle this weekend. We don't know the exact number of men that are left. Might have a good idea after this weekend, and if we see, because I believe this is the first season in a while. Now, granted, it's different because they usually start out in the States and then head overseas. They've been overseas ever since the first night. You know, they did the limo at the alternate mansion, and then they immediately went overseas to Australia, and I believe New Zealand, and not one picture and one video has gotten out. We've had a couple group dates where information was relayed, but that's it. I mean, it is pretty amazing that we are probably at the episode before Hometowns, but I'm still not sure because we don't know the exact number of guys left. It's either the episode before Hometowns or it's the episode before the episode, before Hometowns. We'll know more after this weekend. But I would say this far into any season, this is the least amount of information that's ever gotten out. With that said, probably going to get more this weekend because they're back in the States. They're in Seattle. I told you the first date in Seattle is on Sunday. It is a one-on-one date. They are starting off, and you can be a part of it. It might be too late because they've been taking emails from people for a few days now, so my guess is they've already got enough people, but you can still try. I think it's bachelorettesseattle@gmail.com. You can still try and get on the date. But I could tell you that the day portion of the date on Sunday is going to be at Pioneer Square. It looks like it's being held at a wedding venue. Axis Pioneer Square is the exact place it's being held, and I do know that Sunday night they are headed to T-Mobile Park, the baseball stadium, and that's where the night portion will be. Now, that's not open to the public, obviously. They're going to have dinner there, and then if you want to stick around in the area or you live close to the baseball stadium, fully expect a fireworks show that night for them. So, just know, whoever is on Sunday's one-on-one date, probably a good, solid bet that they're making the Final Four. Because it's either the episode before Hometowns, or like I said, the episode before Hometowns. But considering they're getting a whole baseball stadium to themselves and a fireworks show, that close to Hometowns, probably, but obviously we don't know for sure. Just know that the night portion is going to be at T-Mobile Park. And they're going to have dinner, and fireworks show. So good luck with that. All right, moving on to Survivor. Oh, and sorry, before we go on. Then Monday is going to be a group date. Looks to be radio related because, as I said yesterday on the email that they sent out, not that they sent out, that they put on their Instagram page, that Bachelor Nation Instagram page, if you click on the link, it said they're looking for people to ask questions to Jen and her suitors about love and relationships. And where, they said it's going to be at a remote, you're going to be calling in. So seemingly that seems like a group date at the radio station, which they did during Jason's season when they went to Seattle. So something like that. And then the one-on-one the following day, which would be Tuesday, obviously we don't know where it is, but maybe stuff will get out. And then if we can get a count of how many men are in Seattle, we'll know for sure. Seattle is either episode 6 or it's episode 7. Simple as that. It could be episode 6 because episode 8 is usually hometowns. It could be episode 6 and they're just doing hometowns in episode 7, or it's episode 6 and they still have another episode to do in the States and then go to hometowns for episode 8. Last season with Charity, she only had 5 episodes before hometowns. Hometowns was episode 6 for Charity. So Jen's at least getting one more, if not two more episodes before her hometown dates. So I talked about how there's bullying going on in Survivor. Did you see this? A few people tweeted this out. And I didn't realize that she was taking so much shit, but Venus apparently is getting hounded by trolls on the internet. She wrote on her Twitter account, she had this message. Do you guys know how depressing it is to be dismissed and hated for no particular reason? To be thought of as socially stupid or a nuisance when all you tried to do is keep your head up and keep pushing? My heart is so heavy and I just want to disappear. No one deserves this. I did not realize she was so disliked. I watched the whole season. I know that she's kind of been the outcast and she's been people's votes quite a few times. But I had no idea she was getting this much vitriol on the internet for what? Because her tribe doesn't seem to get along with her? But then again, should we be surprised at this? This is the way the internet reacts when somebody isn't liked on a TV show by the other people there. You know, I guess it's no different than anybody that was disliked on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. People just take their frustrations out on them, but I had no idea it was that bad, and that message sounded pretty bad. I just want to disappear. Like, you don't want to hear that coming from a reality show contestant. I hope she's okay. I just saw that yesterday, and I'm like, oh, God, here we go again with the stupid trolls, and it's just, it's unfortunate because, as I've said 1,000 times, how is this ever going to stop? If somebody has that much hate and vitriol inside of them, to write that to somebody, whether it was publicly or in a DM or whatever, nothing's going to deter them from doing that. And we see it constantly on almost every show that somebody is getting called out by the public. And it's just, it sucks. And I really feel bad for her because that didn't sound like a good message at all. And then when I look at the show, I'm like, what has she done? I mean, she's not even a villain. Yeah, she's had some disagreements with people in her tribe, but nothing that she's done or said should elicit that negative of a response towards her, you know? Lovers and Liars was on last night. Episode number 2, and again, I don't know who's watching it. It's on the CW on Thursday nights. Right before it is the Matchmaker show that I talked about yesterday with Patty Stanger and Nick Viall. So before I started watching Lovers and Liars last night, it was like 7:45 my time. Lovers and Liars comes on at 8. So I was just like, well, I'll just turn on the CW and catch the last 15 minutes of The Matchmaker. And I watched it, and it was basically the beginning of the dates. There's two dates every episode, I guess. And for the first 45 minutes, I guess, is when Patty and Nick give whoever they're coaching, like, tips and pointers. So I watched two dates that couldn't have been more plain and more boring. And then at the end, they spoke to the two people that they coached and said, how did it go? Are you going to do a second date? Like, granted, I missed 45 minutes of the show, but it just doesn't seem like there's anything at stake in this show. Like, why do I want to tune in? What's the catch? What's the grab to the audience of why you're tuning in to watch this? To listen to Patty Stanger and Nick Viall's advice? I mean, I guess, because I watched 15 minutes of dates that were so boring. And I was like, okay, well, no wonder it got 300,000 viewers last week. And the second least viewed show on television got 1.75 million. Good luck.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Open the door to big savings with a brand new look with Larson Doors. Now at Menards. Whether you're looking for traditional, modern, or a screen door, Larson Storm Doors are perfect to enjoy the fresh spring air. They come in over 40 styles of storm doors to choose from. Check out all Larson Storm Door options in store and find more great deals in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Got around to watching Deal or No Deal Island from Monday. And what's interesting about this show, obviously it's much different. Well, I don't say much. Same concept when you play the game of Deal or No Deal. Same concept. Still a little bit different, but roughly the same concept. However, for the first 45 minutes, there's challenges involved and there's alliances and all this stuff. They don't have that on the original show. The original show was, we're just going to choose somebody, and they're going to pick a bunch of briefcases, and after choosing a set amount of briefcases in a certain round, they get an offer from the banker, and they can either accept it and walk home with that money or say no deal and try and win more money. That's all the show was. So with Deal or No Deal Island, obviously it's a little bit different. There's only going to be one winner, although they are offering people deals to take some sort of money and leave the show, as we saw on Monday with Dawson was his name, and they offered him $100,000 to leave the show right then and there and not continue on with the game, and he took it. So he took $100,000. What was interesting about the game is there were 12 briefcases, all right? And this is just a math thing, because Dawson plays the game. 12 briefcases, 6 really low amounts and 6 ridiculously high amounts. I believe all were over $2 million. So his first round, he has to choose 6 briefcases. And look, there's no rhyme or reason to the briefcases in terms of you know where the small amounts are or you know where the large amounts are. You're just guessing. And for the most part, when you have to choose 6 and there's 12 total, I'm guessing, if you had to do it 10 different times, I'd probably say 7 of the 10 times, you're going to choose 3 from the small amount and 3 from the large amount. Maybe a couple times you'll choose 4 from one side and 2 from the other. And then one time out of 10, you'll choose 5 from one side and 1 from the other in terms of low amounts versus high amounts. Well, Monday night's episode, Dawson ended up choosing in the first round of 6 choices, he ended up knocking out 5 of the small amounts. So he only had one small amount left. It might have been like $750. And on the other side, he had 5 amounts all over $2 million. So they gave him a $1.1 million offer. Now, if this was the regular game, when they're choosing Joe Schmo out of the stands, who probably makes $60,000 a year, and they're offered $1.1 million because there's 5 briefcases up there worth $2 million or more and one briefcase worth $750, you would think nobody is turning that down. Why would you? I guess greed can come into play, but I think the people they put on Deal or No Deal were not people that were swimming in money. They were people that had stories where they were hurting and they needed money. So anybody offered $1.1 million in a regular game of Deal or No Deal would take the deal. But with Dawson, it's a game where it's like, we can get more out of this. So he had to take three briefcases in the next round. Well, with six cases left, well, five on the board and four, one that he had chosen. Yeah, it's probably going to be the next few cases you take are going to knock out a bunch of the larger amounts. You only have one. You have to choose three, and there's only one that's of a low amount. So at minimum, you're going to have to knock out two large amounts, which is exactly what he did. He actually knocked out three. He didn't end up picking the $750 case. So after round one, you're like, oh my God, look at this. I've got five large amounts left and one small amount. Yeah, and then after round two, you had two large amounts left and one small amount. Well, three, but one of them was your briefcase. So that's what I mean. It's like, it's all math on that show, but that show, Monday's show and Deal or No Deal Island is different in that those people can continue to play because it's going into a larger pot versus somebody that absolutely would take $1.1 million if it was offered to them. After the second round where he knocked out three large amounts, the offer was $1.399 million or $100,000 to leave the game right then and there. And he took it and he left. So he got $100,000 and $1.399 million went into the pot. So now the final Deal or No Deal pot is at like over $4 million. And it's only going to get bigger because there's still five people left in the game. So basically, everyone else, it's just a weird game now that I think about it because everyone else is playing to win someone there, one out of the however many people started, 12, 15, to win them the money. Now, granted, everybody that plays usually is now getting offered a deal by the banker, but it's just really bizarre. It is different. And when they're forcing you to continue to take briefcases and it's not like you're pocketing your first offer of $1.1 million, that just goes into the pot. You're good. Like, it doesn't matter if the first six cases you chose were all small amounts. Everything. That just means you're going to knock out large amounts as long as you keep playing the game. Why would you do that? So just keep that in mind when you're watching Deal or No Deal Island. So bizarre. If you listened to podcast number 387 yesterday with Brooke Wyman, maybe you watched Farmer Wants a Wife last night, episode number 10. I do want to pat myself on the back a little bit. You heard me during the Brooke podcast. I said, I'm sorry. I don't believe for a second that Joe is there to live on a farm in Center, Colorado someday. I don't buy it for a second. I'm watching the episode last night. They have one final quote-unquote work task to do with Brandon. There they are out in the middle of nothing but dirt. And here's Joe rolling up in her leather jacket and jeans and boots. And I'm like, she looks like she's dressed to go get drinks and dinner with a date. Doesn't look like she's prepared to be on the farm with a leather jacket on. And what do you know? End of the episode, Joe decides to tell Brandon, who obviously was going to keep her around, I've only brought one person home to meet my family, which is the stage that they're at right now. Each farmer is down to two women, and he is going to go to the hometowns of those two women next week. Joe said, I've only introduced one man to my parents, and it was a man that I was in love with, and I don't see myself getting there with you. I'm out of here. Which is kind of funny because literally on their date last week when he chose her to go on his final solo date, she sat there in his living room and told him, you're the best thing about being here. I can totally see myself being here. And then 24 hours later, when it was like, oh, yeah, by the way, he's going home to meet your family. Oops. Peace out. I'm out of here. You know, I'm sure Joe's a great woman. I just never believed for a second she was going to end up in Center, Colorado. Just didn't see it. And I was right. I couldn't tell you. I know Melody and Megan are ties to Final Women because of, you know, speaking about it with Brooke yesterday. He's the one that just fresh on my mind. I couldn't tell you Nathan has Allie and some blonde that literally I feel like I've never seen all season. I don't even know her name. Sorry. Who's the other one? Mitchell? He's got Kate. I know that. He let Kiana go. He's got Kate and somebody. I can picture her face, but I can't remember her name. Sorry to her. And then Brandon now has Emerson, and I can't remember the other one. See? But you can excuse me, right? Like, even though I've watched every episode, when you don't ever think about the show outside of the hour that it airs every week, you're just not going to be good with the names, you know? So I did good, somewhat. I knew Ty's final two. And I knew at least one of the final two for the other three men, right? Brandon has Emerson and somebody. Nathan has Allie and somebody. And Mitchell has Kate and somebody. That's okay. Did all right there, right? And finally, as I'm recording this, I think we're about, it's 10:35 Central Time, p.m., so about 25 minutes from the release of the Tortured Poet Society. That's the name of the album, right? See, you even got that wrong. Every time I see poets, I just think Dead Poets Society. It's the Tortured Poets Department. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, it's being released about 25 minutes from as I'm speaking. Although it has been leaked online. It was sent to me yesterday. I did not listen to it leaked. I already have it set to download to Apple Music. I will listen to it tonight and over the weekend, probably numerous times, and give you my thoughts of what I think. I don't have any sort of preview. I'm sure all the entertainment sites will be breaking down the lyrics. I've heard it is very, very Matt Healy-centric. It's not necessarily a diss album on Joe Alwyn, or maybe that's just early speculation. I'm not sure. But the Dead Poets, now I'm calling it the Dead Poets Department. I'm going to screw this up so many times. The Tortured Poets Department, I'm going to be ready to go. I'm all set. After this, I got to record the Sports Daily. That'll finish, and then I'll upload them. So I'll be done probably in about 11:15 my time, and then I'll just listen to the whole album one time through, head to bed, and then probably listen to it numerous times over the weekend to get a feel for the songs. So anyway, just wanted to, if you want to send me your thoughts, by all means, go ahead. I have no problem with that. But looking forward to it. Let's see if it outdoes Evermore and Folklore, and it rises above those in my rankings. Anyway, thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. Follow me on Apple Podcasts. Also, rate and review, but you got to hit play. Please hit play, because it does not count as a download anymore for it to just show up in your feed. As I said, Sports Daily coming up in an hour from now. You can check that out if you're interested. And we're back Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you all for listening once again. I appreciate it. And I will talk to you on Monday. See you!
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Open the door to big savings with a brand new look with Larson Doors. Now at Menards. Whether you're looking for traditional, modern, or a screen door, Larson Storm Doors are perfect to enjoy the fresh spring air. They come in over 40 styles of storm doors to choose from. Check out all Larson Storm Door options in store and find more great deals in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big.